Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody, and a happy Monday, I guess. Although, I gotta say, here in the 92.9 studios and in the greater 92.9 universe, and I'll be honest, in the greater Memphis sporting universe, I'm not sure we're off to such a fabulous start. Now, I say that in part because I'm joined by Brad Carson, and that's fine. I like Brad Carson. Nothing against having Brad Carson here. Brad and I go way back to the very inception of 92.9. What year was that, Brad?
Oh, I met you in December of 2009, and you started in January of 10.
We started on the air with GP. When did is that when it started?
January 10.
January of
2010.
Of 10.
2010. Yeah, because remember, Dan brought us in. And he said, "Brad, meet Jeff. Jeff, yeah. Meet Brad."
Right, and so we've been together for 15 years yeah. now, and so there's no shock or disappointment to see Brad across the glass. I enjoy being able to reconnect with Brad, but the circumstances of that are less than ideal, because, and I don't know exactly how this transpired. But Sam Hardiman, who we have on the show on Wednesdays, terrific reporter at the Daily Memphian, really essential reading if you're a Memphian at this point. He had a piece today. It's about potholes. It's about potholes and our new approach to tackling potholes. Now, I don't know that potholes were the culprit with what I'm about to describe, but I'm guessing. Anyway, so we have we'll give Sam on Wednesdays. Evidently, our old approach to potholes was if you complain about potholes, maybe they'll come fix your pothole. Squeaky wheel gets the asphalt.
Yeah.
Right. And then I think we'll talk to Sam about this on Wednesday. The new approach is no. We're not going to be reactive. We're going to be proactive. And we're going to divide the whole city up, the main drags in the city, roads. Now, they're no longer drag strips. The roads in the city, we're going to divide up. And we're going to send crews out every so often. And they're going to identify in advance the potholes and fill in as many as they can. And I don't know how this is working. But it does seem to me that the city shouldn't wait for a concerned citizen to identify the pothole, that it's good to be out there looking for potholes. There's plenty to find. But anyway, I had sent, today's Monday, so we got the fight song roundup in the next segment, and I had sent Jeffrey, we'd been communicating back and forth, we'd been discussing which teams we should celebrate and which we should blow up, and all was well until I get a text and a call, both, from Jeffrey saying that he has suffered a double flat tire. What's a double flat tire? You means you literally your front tire and your back tire? Boom, boom. Like, what is that? What that means?
I'm not sure.
What is a double flat tire?
It either means that there's because I have one of those supposed to be able to drive a little bit when it's flat tires.
Well, that would not make sense to me that the front two front or the front
no,
and back.
No,
I think it means it's flat. And then it's double extra protection.
I got further guidance from Jeffrey subsequently after the initial text, and that is he couldn't even drive it to the Atlas Tire or whatever the tire store is around the corner here on Highland or on Mendenhall.
So he's getting towed?
So, yeah, in other words, it's a pancake job. So I think that means it's double.
So it's like it's got a his driving my 2006 minivan.
You don't have these problems.
I don't have these fancy problems. I don't have these fancy tires. If I have a flat tire, I have a flat tire. And I don't have another tire inside that tire lurking, ready to leap out and save the day. But anyway, I feel bad for Jeffrey because he is along the side of the road waiting for someone to show up and haul him off to the tire place. And maybe he will make it. I presume he'll probably make it at some point, but who knows? Who knows? Anyway, and I have to say, it kind of fits the theme of the weekend.
Yeah.
Because as a city, certainly as a sporting city, I think we suffered a little bit of a double flat tire. I think it was a little bit of a, I'll be honest, I think it was a quadruple flat tire. It was a quadruple flat tire weekend for sports in Memphis, and we will talk about it today, maybe with Jeffrey, certainly with Brad. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to do the fight song roundup in the next segment without Jeffrey, if he's not here by then. I can't imagine he would be, but we'll do that, and we'll celebrate some football teams, not many of them around here, that deserve to be celebrated, and we'll blow up one very close to home that deserves to be blown up. So we'll do that in the fight song roundup. Chris Harrington is going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies, who open their season this week. That's it. We're on the eve of the 25th season of the Grizzlies in Memphis. They had a little double flat tire of their own over the weekend, and then who knows? After that, we may talk about the NFL and what went on in the NFL. That's something actually that I think Jeffrey should be sort of happy about because he's a Giants fan.
Oh boy.
So as but you have to understand the context. So as he's sitting by the side of the road, I hope he's consoling himself with the fact that his Giants seem to have a quarterback. Jackson Dart is doing lots of good things and they're blowing games, which is good for the draft pick.
Right, that's fair.
It's good
that's
for the
fair.
Draft pick.
That's, that's
how I look at it. Yeah. So anyway, I honestly look at bad weekends and Memphis sports fans really bad. And I was trying to think, like, is Billy Napier worse? No, because Billy Napier has loads and loads of money. Like whatever. Billy Napier knew this was happening. Now he finally gets to go off and... And he'll, you know what, Billy Napier, he will get a job somewhere and he'll try to start over and whatnot. But Florida finally pulled the plug on Billy Napier. He got lots of money. The guards at the Louvre.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yes.
There was a giant, during the middle of the day or 9:30 in the morning or something, a massive heist at the Louvre. So they probably had a worse day. But other than that, I'm going to say it is local sports fans. Because what we had was a lot of big college football games and a lot of big L's. We had Tennessee playing the University of Alabama, arch rival, team they love to beat, light up cigars, all of that. And what happens? Alabama honestly decisively wins that one. Yeah. I mean, you had the critical pick six, and that was sort of that. But Alabama. Let's be honest, beats the hell out of Tennessee. So that's deflating. See, there's the word. There's the perfect word.
It's deflating. Well done.
Deflating on the part of Tennessee fans. I don't think it means they're done, but I don't think there's any more room for error. Deflating on the part of Tennessee fans.
That's good.
Then you have Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Ole Miss goes into Georgia, and not only goes into Georgia, has a lead over Georgia, 35-26. I mean, Ole Miss, like, their offense, do not blame their offense for what happened against Georgia. And they end up could not get a stop. And Gunnar Stockton looks terrific. 26 to 31, 289 yards, a bunch of TDs. And Georgia beats Ole Miss. So that's deflating. Now, George, that was actually not at all disqualifying for Ole Miss, but now they got Oklahoma and they got to win that one. So that's deflating for Ole Miss. But the most deflating.
Oh, it was brutal.
The double flat tire deflating. I almost couldn't believe it.
Oh.
Was Memphis losing to UAB 31-24. This is not just UAB. This is a bad UAB team that was winless in the American, 0-3 in the American, that lost to Army 31-13, that lost to FAU 55-33. Depending on where you look, 22.5-point favorites Memphis was to win this game over a team that was not only bad, but fired their coach. That's how bad they were. Yeah. And then we learned not long before the game commenced that they were not going to have their starting quarterback. And it all set up perfectly for Memphis, because here's the thing. You're playing the battle for a bones against a bad UAB team that doesn't have its coach, doesn't have its quarterback, and you're coming off a bye week. You're coming off a bye week.
Yep.
Not only are you coming off a bye week, you are gearing up for what could be a massive, massive, the game we've had circled against South Florida here at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. For the first time in a long time, real excitement, not just to go down to Tiger Lane and eat a rib and drink a beer and have some good Pronto Pup, maybe have a good time, see your friends, all of that. But the actual matchup itself was going to draw people to this game. And so you have ranked teams that are really among the absolute leaders in terms of most likely to get to the playoff. And at least we've talked about for the last 2 weeks, although it's pretty clear once Vanderbilt did what they did over the weekend, it was pretty clear that game day was going to go to Nashville no matter what happened after seeing Vanderbilt knock off LSU. But still, you had all this to play for against a woeful UAB team. And what happens? You lose. Double flat tire.
Double flat.
End of the top 25 ranking. Didn't get a single vote in the AP poll. End of the 10-game winning streak. And takes a hell of a lot of the luster off of this weekend's game. It was a faceplant of a game. And so you got this guy, Ryder Burton, comes in, throws for 259 yards and 3 touchdowns. Memphis, I mean, the ways in which you can sum up that Memphis's inept performance here are manifold. How about that for a word? Well, 87 yards of offense in the first half. 87 yards of offense in the first half. This is a Memphis team that had averaged 238.7 yards rushing a game. They get 119 yards of rushing while allowing 219. Allowed UAB to be nine of 13 on third down. And of course, injury to insult, they lose Brandon Lewis, their starting quarterback, who has been the engine of so much of the good that has happened for the University of Memphis this year. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, that's why they lost. That's a good excuse. They lost their starting quarterback. Not so fast, my friend. They were down. By the time A.J. Hill took his first snap, the Tigers were down by 10. So literally, the loss of their quarterback had nothing to do with the fact that they were down by 10 points to a woeful UAB team. Now, could they have come back? Would they have been more likely to come back and win? But of course, yes. And would we feel very different about things going forward? Of course. I mean, it was a massive blow. Even as you try to now spin this forward and be hopeful, and whatever, I'm not going to I am not at all going to discount that. Now, you have to say the things that coaches say, which is that all everything we wanted to do is in front of us. And that is still true. It gets harder to imagine that without your starting quarterback, who was on crutches and in a boot by the end of the game. So A.J. Hill comes in, and Tigers make a game of it. Indeed, it sure looked, with DeRozier's run, that they had tied this thing up. Honestly, the way that it ended, Brad, like, we know the result is deflating. We know the injury deflating. We know all of that. Is the fact that it ended in the fashion that it did make it more of a faceplant? Because they get to literally first and goal from the one.
Right.
First and goal from the one. And I'll be honest, at that moment, I'm thinking, oh, well, okay, refs didn't say he was in, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And not only does it not matter, this could be good. Because this could be good, because it means that some time will run off the clock.
Time, right.
And so UAB will have less chance to march down the field and kick the winning field goal before overtime. I don't think Ryan would have gone for two, but he wasn't asked that, I don't believe. I don't think Ryan would have gone for two. I think they would have just assumed they were going to win in overtime.
Go win the game.
And I assume, you know what?
Yeah.
Every good team, every magical season has a close escape. Like the Cotton Bowl year, remember what happened?
Yes.
Tulsa, close escape. This is just going to be the close escape. Yeah. That's what's going to happen here. It's first and goal at the one. Penalty drives him back 5 yards. Oh, no. This is going to be tougher now.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be tougher now. But sure enough, quick pass, they get right back to the one.
Yeah. Felt good.
I felt pretty good.
I felt good again.
I felt very good again. It's like when you see the tow truck coming up and you're like, ah,
yay,
help
relief.
Was on the way.
Relief.
Another penalty.
Not so fast.
And then, of course, you had another penalty for delay of game. And there's no question that as you look at some of that had to do with having a young quarterback. Like, again, like I am not going to let this team off the hook for that loss and say, hey, what did you expect? It's because of our quarterback. Because they were flat, they were bad, and they were losing by 10 before the backup took his first snap. So you can't let them off the hook. Can you also then acknowledge, though, that it didn't help them climb back in?
All right.
It absolutely did not help them climb back in. You know, that they didn't have Lewis for the comeback. And so just about as demoralizing, and I'll get away from we've used the deflating metaphor enough. It was about as demoralizing a loss. I don't know. Like the sad thing is now we can compare it. Like, how does this one feel compared to like Navy last year when they run all over you after you beat FSU? Like there, that one of the problems here is that there's always demoralizing losses. And so we're going to be able to compare it to all the other demoralizing losses that prevented this team from getting to where it wanted to go and where it had been before under each of the two previous coaches.
Yes.
And so now you have a situation where you still have this big game against South Florida. And to be clear, with South Florida on the schedule, Tulane on the schedule, with Navy on the schedule, if you run the table, I think you're in fine shape. I think you're in fine shape. But the problem is, do you really believe this team can run the table? Like, they are 3.5, I think, point underdogs at this point to USF. They can beat USF. This is not beating Ohio State. Like, you can beat USF. But I don't know. Do you believe in this team? Like, I hope they believe in themselves. This would be a great story, whether it's whoever's quarterback, if they could get off the mat. But it sure takes a lot of the steam out of this game. And it puts them in a situation where one moment you're riding high, you're thinking, hey, we're going to the playoff. Maybe game day's coming. Oh, gosh, Ryan Silverfield's going to be a hot commodity in the job market. To, oh, no, this again? And well, I mean, let's just imagine they lose two more, right? Just imagine, whatever. Totally possible if you got your backup quarterback. And there you are again. There you are again. A B-plus team, B-plus whatever, and another bowl. I mean, it's just demoralizing. There's no way around it. It's incredibly demoralizing. And so, I mean, the good thing is that Ryan can say, and Ryan did say afterwards, well, he said a couple things. First of all, he said, I don't know what trap, people said, was this a trap game? He said, I don't know what trap game means. And maybe that's a problem because he should know what a trap game. No, this was clearly a trap game in the sense of a classic trap game is you are not sufficiently attentive to the matter at hand because you're looking for something else, right? That's what a trap game is. The reason the trap is a trap is because your mind is not on the task at hand. It's instead on something else. And although Ryan disavowed that term, said he didn't know what it means and whatever else, it is really hard to imagine that didn't play some part in this, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, Brad? No, I agree with that.
It had to play
of course.
Some part in it. And then he said, which is what a coach has to say, which is that one game is not going to define our season and all of our goals are still in front of us. And those things are cliche and they're meaningless, and that except for they're true. Like, it's true. You know who looked really bad once upon a time? You know who was off to a really bad start this year? Mm-hmm. Alabama.
Yeah.
Alabama losing to Florida State the way they did. And so what are you going to do? You going to pack up if you're Alabama? No, you're not going to pack up. And now the four wins they've lashed together over four ranked teams, as impressive as really any team has done in the country this year. You have no choice but to get out there and beat USF. And if they do, this is weirdly enough, this has become a massive game in a totally different way. Then when we were anticipating this game, this is a massive game because it is really going to make clear who the best team is in terms of the team that is headed to the playoff from the American. Now, this is a massive game for the credibility of this program. Because if you can bounce back and beat USF in front of your home crowd, it's on again! It's on again!
We're back, baby.
But if you bookend, a humiliating loss, and I honestly think the only worse loss than this one this season was Penn State losing to UCLA by point spread.
Yeah.
If you put back bookend that loss with then a loss to USF, you go from where we were a week ago, kind of people starting to believe again, to people like bailing, right?
Yeah.
So it has become a massive game once again, all because of a really demoralizing loss by Memphis. All right, we're going to do the fight song roundup in the next segment. Before we do that, though, a couple things. There were a couple other things I did want to talk about because we may not get to them as part of the fight song roundup. And one is Billy Napier was finally fired after Florida narrowly beat
they won
Mississippi State. I know you're a Mississippi State guy.
That was kind of demoralizing.
There was a field goal that Mississippi State people still think was a field goal. Anyway, so we kind of knew, like, last week this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it did happen.
Because of the bye week, I guess, for
Florida. He had plenty of time. He had plenty of opportunity. He could have been, should have been fired last year. There's no, like, for Billy Napier, this is not, there is nothing, you know. They asked James Franklin on game day. They asked him,
yeah, I saw that.
Was this fair? And he said, well, it's not for me to say. He's not for me to say whether it was fair. He then said, I loved it. He said,
yeah.
Our goals are the same. I'm just going to go win a national. Our goal was to win a national championship. I'm just going to go win a national championship somewhere else.
Oh.
And he said it a couple times.
Yes.
Isn't that a great?
Like, very aggressive. Yes.
That's very aggressive.
Love the zeal.
Yeah. I'm still going to win national championships. Yeah. I'm just going to do it somewhere else.
Okay.
So And yeah, Saban came down. I mean, coaches did.
Yeah, he was on his side.
But I think if you asked the same question to Billy Napier, Billy Napier, if he was being asked, would say, yeah, this is totally fair. Totally fair. Can't, nothing more fair than the shot that I got at Florida. I kind of had it coming. Listen, I can't even get the right number of men on the field going for a two-point conversion.
Yeah.
A mistake after mistake. I should be fired. Who am I kidding? It's my lucky day that I ended up with this money.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, because you now have this fascinating universe, because it's very clear that Florida wants Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Florida wants Lane Kiffin for lots of reasons. A, Lane Kiffin's a good, successful coach. But secondly, he's like the second coming of Steve Spurrier. And Florida fans like nothing more than Steve Spurrier. He wins while talking smack.
Yeah.
You know, like he is all that stuff. He wins, he talks S, and he scores points.
Yeah.
And like he is
Swag.
The logical successor to Steve Spurrier. And you would think that if the world was the way the world once was in college football, this would be a no-brainer. You don't stay at Ole Miss, back in the old days, you don't stay at Ole Miss when you have a chance to go to Florida. Because at Florida, you can win national titles, and at Ole Miss, you can't. And that's because Florida is close to the recruits, and Florida has the geographic advantage, and Florida has all of that stuff. None of that matters anymore. None of it matters anymore. You also, by the way, wouldn't have stayed at Indiana if you could have gone to Penn State once upon a time. You would have crawled over glass from Indiana to get to State College if you could have once upon a time. But the world has completely changed. And so now the money's going to be the same. You're going to get, if you're Lane Kiffin, you're going to get gobs of money at either place. So the only reason you would do it is if you think the ceiling is higher at Florida than at Ole Miss, that it's easier to win at a higher level. And then you would, if it is, how much easier? And you would then balance that against, okay, lifestyle, I'm happy, how much pressure there is here, how much gratitude, whatever else. And so when Cignetti looked at that, he said, and maybe it's marginally easier. I'm imagining what he said. Haven't talked to Cignetti myself. And he would say, maybe it's easier to win at that higher level against Penn State, but it comes with all these expectations and they love me here. And I'm the guy who turned it around at Indiana. And so they're grateful. And so they'll put up with any stumbles. And so I'm going to stay at Indiana. And it's just interesting because what is the advantage of being at Florida over Ole Miss? Well, I mean, in the end, you got to make sure the NIL is the same. But I think the NIL is basically like I don't think NIL is an issue at Ole Miss, and I don't think how much Lane is going to get paid is an issue at Ole Miss. So the only question is okay, there are more athletes in Florida. Do they care though? Like, is the fact that mom can drive 3 hours to see us play? I think that probably matters a little. I do think it probably matters a little, right? It matters a little. I think if you're getting a kid, if there's a kid who's
fractionally,
like all of us, I think probably
a little bit.
It's a thumb on the scale, but it's only a thumb on the scale. It's not determinative anymore. Mm. And so, I don't know. Like in the end, it's how he measures all of that. But my suspicion is
he can stay.
My suspicion is he stays.
Yeah, he's going to stay, Jeff.
And the world is completely different. You never would have stayed once upon a time. You just never would have stayed.
Nope.
But now in this world, when Vanderbilt, when you can do that at Vanderbilt, why do I need to go anywhere?
Yep.
It's really quite extraordinary. All right, and then onward to the other story that we'll talk about more with Chris Harrington when he joins the show straight up 10 o'clock. In case all of that wasn't deflating enough. Oh, there's that word again. You did have...
Well done.
You did have the Grizzlies. More Grizzlies.
Oh,
injuries.
No, nah. Yeah, this is
more
the...
More
This is to me, this is equally as deflating as the Tigers debacle.
Oh.
Equally.
I think... big picture more so.
Yeah.
I think big picture more so.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about more about this as the as the week goes on. Obviously, the Grizzlies open up their home opener against the Pelicans. But we've talked about health, and we've talked about health primarily. Yeah, first of all, you need John Jaren to be healthy, right? And Jaren came back, looks good. We'll see.
Yeah, we won a game, right?
We'll see if Ja's going to play in the opener.
Yeah.
My guess would be yes, but we'll see. So those things are trending well. But you got Zach Edey who's out. You got Brandon Clark who's out. And now Scottie Pippen, sesamoidectomy.
Yeah, 12 weeks.
Is that your
I think you nailed it. I think you got it. Yeah, I think you're on it. We've been all doing the internet doctors this week.
Scottie Pippen Jr., sesamoidectomy.
Yeah, sounds right.
That's on the big toe.
That sucks.
And although the Grizzlies have not issued a report, Sham said will be reevaluated in 12 weeks. That's November, December, January, February.
Basically half the season. Basically.
More.
Yeah.
Really?
And
so that's a hell of a blow. Because you know the Ja's going to miss time because he does. He just does. Like everybody misses. Everybody misses time. Mm. But then Ja is more fragile than most. And so we got Scottie Pippen Jr. He's a dog.
He'll do it.
And so he is out. And then you say, well, all right, thank God they went out and got Ty Jerome because he can play the point too. And he goes down Friday with a right calf, and we don't have. At least have not. I haven't seen yet. Maybe at this car.
No.
We have no report yet on that. And so that's the weekend, ladies and gentlemen. The weekend was Ole Miss losing. It was Tennessee losing. It was Memphis losing an absolutely game that they could not lose. And it was the Grizzlies losing 2 point guards. And then it was Jeffrey getting a double flat tire.
Yeah, nice little cherry on top there.
I did have a great dinner at Carcosa.
I have not. Tell me about that.
No,
that's positive.
I'm not going to go on and on about it, but I...
Where is it, Jeff?
It's where the old, was it the Buckley's Lunchbox?
Over in Poplar.
It's at Yates and Poplar.
Yeah.
The corner of Yates and Poplar.
Not far, yeah.
So Carcosa is a Italian place that's the main one is down in Harbortown. I've never been to that one. Mm. People say good things about that one, but I've never been to that one. This one is and the folks who do the Majestic,
who we've talked about, the same folks who do
the Majestic, did Carcosa. And this one is, it's wonderfully informal. Like you walk in, you think Italian restaurant, and it almost feels like a cross between a bar and a restaurant. The bar is not right, but it's very informal.
Good vibes.
A lot of families. A lot of families there. There is outside seating. It's your basic, red sauce kind of Italian place. And so what do you get? To me, if you're at an Italian place, here's what you're at a red sauce kind of Italian place, right? What do you get?
You get a spaghetti and meatballs lasagna or something?
I always get the calamari.
Okay.
I always get the calamari. I love calamari, and it was incredible calamari. Okay. And then I like chicken or veal parmesan, we decided to splurge and get the veal parmesan.
Ooh.
And since we're old, we split things,
We're in the same boat. Stacey and I do that.
It's not just old. It's two things about getting old. You don't burn calories like you did when you're 23. But that's the truth.
That's fair.
Sometime in your late 20s, you realize you can't just eat everything anymore.
Right.
And anyway, it was delicious.
Yeah.
The server was great. It was a joyful atmosphere. So I recommend it. Carcosa, go. It's really good.
Okay.
And they're not even a sponsor, although Majestic has been, but they're not a sponsor. Sure. Really good. So there you go.
Well, I'm glad somebody's in that spot, too. Yeah.
When we come back, we will do the fight song roundup. Then we'll talk to Chris Harrington, and maybe we'll get an update on the flat tires. It's Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been telling you lately about ProHealth. Now, they do a lot of things at ProHealth, sort of a one-stop shop in terms of your health. You can get your allergy shots there, sick visits there, testosterone replacement there. Testosterone replacement, easy for me to say. But they can also help you lose weight. And I've been saying this, it makes all the sense to me in the world to not get to January 1 and have to resolve to lose weight. And so ProHealth can help you there as well. The ProHealth weight loss shot, semaglutide, help curb your appetite, shed the extra pounds, and actually give you energy while you are doing it. ProHealth doesn't just give you a shot and send you on your merry way. They check in. They track your progress. They are in it with you. Again, it is ProHealth. It's a shot. And again, in addition to everything else, if you're just feeling miserable, look for ProHealth. They've got offices in Germantown, in Collierville, in Bartlett, and two of them in East Memphis. ProHealthMemphis.com to learn more. All right, let's do the Fight Song Roundup. How about that? Vanderbilt, ladies and gentlemen. Top 10 Vanderbilt. First time ever. They've just been waiting. They've just been waiting to be favored in a ranked game. You always knew if they would ever be favored in a ranked game that they would prove their mettle. I went to the... As a journalist, ladies and gentlemen, I went as a journalist to pitch into the... We didn't know what was going to happen at the protest Saturday. So I went there to see the scene and talk to some people and contribute to the story. And I talked to two Vandy grads who were there. And they felt like it was a real sacrifice. Yeah. That's how much they cared about it because Vanderbilt was playing LSU.
The game was on, yeah.
And not only that, Vanderbilt prevails... And it was just, it is so much fun to see that this is happening at Vanderbilt. Diego Pavia was struck the Heisman pose, 3 TDs, 6-1 for the first time since 1950.
Wow.
His numbers aren't like Heisman numbers. His numbers, okay, they're 14 to 22, 160 yards. But then he rushed for another 86, the 3 touchdowns, and he was, like, in the end, there were a couple times at the end when the Vandy defense, there were some 3-and-outs or some time Vandy had a punt a couple times at the end, and the defense rose up. It helps that LSU was absolutely their offensive line, which has not been good all year, right. Suffering injuries, so they were just overwhelmed. But so the defense rose up, but without Pavia, like he is the guy who makes that go. It's just great fun. And you do wonder, one of the things that I, as you look at what happened over the weekend is not only did we have Napier getting fired and not only did we already have James Franklin who's been fired, but it just feels like everyone should be fired.
Brian
just,
Kelly in the mix. Yes.
And I don't think Brian Kelly will be fired.
Well, I don't know. Baton Rouge, they're not happy.
This is another. It could be another 8-4 season. Yes. It's just like, you know, not now. Now he's not on the same kind of hot seat that Norvell is on. Not. We'll get to him. That Freeze is on. Right. Beamer maybe just a jump. Should take another job. Should maybe go to Virginia Tech. Like Luke Fickell should get fired.
Yeah, he's on it. Wisconsin.
It's it is. It like nobody's happy. Ohio State's happy.
Yes.
You know, And Georgia's happy, and
Indiana's
even
happy.
In defeat, Ole Miss is happy. But it feels like there's a lot of people who are unhappy, and you do wonder, like Brian Kelly, it's not a disaster like it is for some of these others, but you wonder where your LSU, you know, where you go with this. The Vandy story's great, but. If you're LSU, you're supposed to still supposed to be Vandy.
The problem he has is Notre Dame is crushing it after he left, and he was supposedly going to LSU because you can't win a title and get over the hump at Notre Dame.
It's become too hard to win at Notre Dame.
Yeah,
Notre Dame isn't what it once was.
Yeah.
That
okay.
was the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. And his successor
it's actually easier now.
His successor is killing it. All right. Anyway, shout out to Vandy for getting that done. Next.
Here's a classic.
Yeah, we got a lot of... We got some good fight songs today.
Outside of Vandy, you know, kind of...
I don't think the Vandy fight song's so great.
No, they got to figure that out. The whole Anchor Down thing is kind of fun. I hate it. I hate it they're getting the stupid game day in Nashville. That even also a dagger because of the whole week of... We're going to get... You know, and then
okay, it's funny, though. So I hate Nashville as much as anyone.
I hate this.
I resent Nashville as much as anyone.
Of course.
But,
me too.
But it takes a lot of it makes it much better because it's Vandy.
Yeah.
It's Vandy.
I have Vandy friends.
You don't like them?
No, I love them. They're some of my best, closest friends. Well, they're also smart and they've got all these.
Why are you disparaging them?
Well, it's
them?
Just, you know, like the idea.
They already have enough.
The idea that Vanderbilt is connected to Lower Broadway is ridiculous. Like that, those two things couldn't be more different.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind.
It's fine. Go have fun.
Right.
Get in the river.
It's like when the NFL draft was in Nashville. We don't need another big party in Nashville, but whatever. It's
they need less.
Yeah, but it is Vandy anyway. Okay.
Georgia.
Off to Georgia. I still don't think Georgia scares the hell out of you, but Ole Miss just could not get a stop. Georgia allowed touchdowns on their first five TD drive. First five drives. Touchdowns on their first five drives. I think Jeffrey took the under in this one. I think so.
Uh-huh.
He's not here to defend himself. And that, if he did take the under, that was the wrong call. Let me just say that. That was the wrong call. Because they just could not get a stop. They just absolutely could not get a stop. The good news for Ole Miss is nothing. It doesn't. Because of a new universe, there's nothing. It's not over. Like, you can do this now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's. For me, like, there were those who said once upon a time, yeah, it's going to make these games mean nothing. No, it doesn't make them mean nothing. It's not going to take the meaning out of these games. It would have been great fun to win that game. For Georgia, it was great fun to win that game. But I think it makes life better that you can lose that game and still be in the mix. And Ole Miss is still very clearly in the mix. The question was, you take this new quarterback – Chambliss on the road, and how is he going to? He held up just fine.
He took the under.
He was great.
He took the under.
I told you.
You were right.
I don't think it was a. I don't think the reason that Jeffrey isn't in here right now isn't that he didn't have the best week.
Is his card?
I think it's legitimately the tires.
You do think
it's the flat tires?
It's not the card.
I don't think it's not that it was his best week, but I don't think it was his best week. Georgia wins 43-35. It was like, no, the under was like, you watched the first two drives and you're like, okay, this is like, no one's going to stop anybody.
No.
And nobody did. All right, next.
Congrats, Drew Hill.
Yeah, I think Alabama. I mean, isn't me. You look back and the fact that they lost to Florida State.
Yep.
Which Florida State just lost to Stanford. We'll get to that in a minute. How did that happen?
I don't know.
It is a reminder not to take the first week too seriously. But they very clearly have one of the best quarterbacks in the country in Ty Simpson.
He's number one. That's your Heisman guy so far, I would say.
Well, I mean, there's, Pavia's really good.
Yeah.
But I think Ty Simpson has, not only he was 19 of 29, 253 yards, two touchdowns, but eight of those throws were for 15 or more yards. against UT. Obviously, the pick six was like the end. Yep. After that, it was all
Before the half. Yeah, that was brutal. That was gutting.
But then you look at what Alabama has done the last 4 weeks. They've beaten Georgia, Vandy, Missouri, and Tennessee.
Yeah.
Alabama, legit good. Alabama, legit good. There's just not a lot of room for error anymore on the part of the Vols. All right, next. How about that? I don't think we've played Notre Dame all year long. And again, they start 0-2. And right now, you look at the rest of the schedule. They ran all over to USC.
Yep.
Jeremiah Love, another Heisman Trophy candidate, 228 yards rushing, another 37 receiving, 265 yards total. Jadarian Price had the 100-yard kickoff return. Between the two of them, against USC, not against Kent State, against USC, they ran for 8.5 yards a carry. A lot of weird play calling on the side. Like Lincoln Riley, another one. Like people probably don't love their...
They don't like him. Yeah. I think you put him in that list.
I don't think you put him on that list.
Really? UCLA is going to figure it out here.
He's not delivered what he promised. But anyway, Notre Dame is in the situation now where they start 0-2 and they absolutely look headed for the playoff. And in fact, I was listening to a podcast. One of the things about college football now is this a year when like someone totally, where any of 12 teams could win the national title? I mean, it feels like Ohio State is the best team, right? But like, how about Notre Dame? Couldn't Notre Dame win the national title? Couldn't you imagine Notre Dame winning the national title?
You could have an upset.
I could imagine Notre Dame winning the national title.
I can.
Let's see. I was torn between what other fight song to play. This is the one we decided to go with.
Been a while for this one, I think.
Well, this is Friday night. Louisville beats Miami.
Yeah. And, I was surprised.
Four picks by Carson Beck. Jeff Brohm, by the way. Jeff Brohm is, if Lane Kiffin doesn't take the Florida job, Jeff Brohm is on the list of folks who might be considered. Obviously, Louisville is his alma mater, and so he may be happy there. He has four top five wins, two at Purdue and two at Louisville. That's not easy to do. Three of those wins are over the number two team in the country. And then you just had a game with Miami, like four picks from Carson Beck, who was forcing it. He's got terrific wide receivers, but sometimes they're not open. And nine penalties, 68 yards. It was just not a, you know, there's one of the teams you wondered if they and Ohio State were the teams that in the country you can trust. When I said that to Gabe on his show a couple weeks ago, he said, yeah, no, I don't trust Miami. And he was right.
Yeah.
We now have a weird situation where Miami does not play Virginia or Georgia Tech. And those teams right now have the inside track for the conference championship game. Because, weirdly enough, well, Georgia Tech is undefeated.
Yeah.
That's the other fight song we could have played, by the way. Virginia is undefeated in conference because their loss to NC State did not count as a conference game because it was scheduled as an out-of-conference game. So even though they lost to a conference opponent, it was not a conference game.
That's stupid.
And so you could have Virginia and Georgia Tech headed towards, and there's nothing Miami can do about it because they don't play either of them.
That's crazy.
You would say that's crazy.
That's crazy. Virginia.
But shout out to Georgia Tech, by the way. 7-0 for the first time since 1966. George Cates, great Memphian, used to, every time I see him, he'd ask me about Georgia Tech. Mm. He'd want to talk about Georgia Tech. He died in a tragic plane crash, solo plane crash. I think he was 80. Just so many things. Like the Overton Park golf course, that's a George Cates production. He has been involved in so many great things in Memphis. And so when Georgia Tech beats Duke, I thought of George Cates. They're 7-0 for the first time since 1966. 6. Haynes King is another one who has been absolutely spectacular. And Georgia Tech now has, like, they got Syracuse, NC State, BC, and Pitt. They're rolling, too. They're going to be in the playoff as well. We have to blow up someone. Who are we going to blow up?
All right.
Aww.
This one hurts.
Now, we could have celebrated, by the way, some other teams. We could have celebrated BYU. They were certainly worthy of celebration. Missouri beats Auburn. I guess we could have celebrated them. You know, we could have blown up Nebraska. Matt Rhule. Everyone's talking about Matt Rhule going to Penn State. So here's the latest thing he did for his resume for the Penn State job.
No.
Got waxed by Minnesota 24-6.
Oh, yes, the
so
actual game.
So that's not great.
Yeah, he's not looking
so that's
apart.
Not great. Florida State, you could 100% blow up Florida State. In fact, we would have if not for what the Tigers did. 17.5-point favorites to Stanford. They have now lost, Mike Norvell, 9 straight in conference. This is a team that beat Alabama, has lost 9 straight in conference. And Mike, except for that one magical season, and I love Mike, but they went 13-1 that one magical season. Yep. Other than that, at Florida State, he is 23-30. So not great. But, yeah, the team that we have to blow up is Memphis. We were discussing whether it made it better or worse that they got to first and goal from the
right
one.
Right at the one, yeah.
And one of our avid listeners said it felt like they lost the game twice. Like,
because you're right there. And by the way, you're gaming it because of the time on the clock. Bird in the hand, right? The game is in the hand.
We're going to run some clock here.
Roll this sucker out. And then we're all in our minds. Don't be honest. In your mind, you're going, wonder if Ryan's going to go for two or not on this next play.
Just a disaster.
Ugh.
They got South Florida. You know what?
Everything is in front of us, Jeff.
Everything's in front of us. All our goals are in front of us.
All of it's in front of us.
You know, you say that to your kids, too, when they screw up. You're like, okay, you may have screwed up here, but all your goals are still in front of you.
Every day I say that.
Every day. It's just deflating. It is too bad that, it's too bad that you have to be perfect, right?
In this conference you do, almost.
In this conference
In this
you
almost
have to be
you do. In this.
And that would be an excuse. If you lost to South Florida, or you lost to Tulane, or you lost, like then
you don't have the
come on, you have to win every single game.
Right.
Like look what Alabama did. Alabama had a bad day.
Hiccup against Florida State.
Ole Miss doesn't win. Like it, and so if they had slipped up and lost to even
some good team, a good team with their real quarterback and not a backup coach.
It is not an excuse when you lose to UAB.
On the road with nobody in the stadium.
It is just not an excuse. Oh, my God, there was nobody in the stadium.
I mean, when I say nobody, there wasn't even a Dragon mascot in that joint.
There were some Memphis fans there. There were some Memphis fans there. But, yeah, when you lose to a team that got crushed by FAU 55-30.
And we lost the Bones.
We lost to Army 31-13.
We don't even have the trophy.
And you don't even have that gruesome, glorious Bones trophy anymore. So we're going to take a break from all this bad news and talk to Chris Harrington about some more bad news, the Memphis Grizzlies, who got some bad injury news over the weekend. We'll talk to Chris about that. We'll see if we can check in to see what Jeffrey Wright and his flat tires are up to. And we got a second hour. We could even contemplate taking calls, but that may be perilous on a day like today. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.